This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The saga around Boeing has taken a criminal turn. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Justice Department has launched a criminal investigation into the incident last January where an improperly sealed door blew off an Alaska Airlines flight midair. Alaska Airlines, in a statement, said it was cooperating and did not believe the investigation was aimed at it. The New York Times says the inquiry is indeed targeting Boeing. A string of safety incidents on Boeing planes over the last week has earned the airplane manufacturer even more negative attention. A tire fell off one plane, fumes filled the cabin in another, yet another plane moved violently due to a, quote, technical event that injured passengers. But as U.S. air travel continues to break records, does failing trust in Boeing and its planes actually hurt the industry? Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovall has that story.
Since an airplane door panel blew out mid-air on a 737 MAX 9 in January, consumer trust in Boeing has taken a serious hit, says Nikki Zink with Morning Consult. But as for the carriers who fly those planes?
Actually, trust in airlines is creeping up a little bit following the end of 2023. It's small, but I think still really notable because it's actually quite hard for brands to build trust.
And Mike Gallinari with Mintel says he doubts many travelers will actually stop flying in Boeing's planes.
Taking time out of this booking process to research the craft that the flight might be on and book around that if so desired, I think that's just a level of work and complexity that your average air passenger isn't going to undertake.
And when you consider alternatives like driving, travel writer Tim Luffel says,
it's still far safer to fly than any other form of transportation.
He says travelers may think poorly of Boeing, but they'd still rather fly to visit grandma than stay home. I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
Boeing stock is down 1 2/10% in pre-market trading. President Joe Biden will propose a new budget today for the 2025 fiscal year. It includes tax hikes on wealthy Americans and corporations. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
The budget proposal says it will reduce the federal deficit by $3 trillion over 10 years. And that's largely because Biden wants to go after high earners. His proposal raises the corporate tax rate, increases the minimum tax on large companies, and quadruples a tax on stock buybacks. He also wants billionaires to pay a minimum 25% tax rate on unrealized personal income or unsold assets like stocks. Also on the list, paid leave for workers, a reinstated child tax credit, new tax credits for some home buyers, and expanded reach of health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. The budget proposal is more like a wish list and re-election campaign platform as Biden seeks to contrast himself with former President Donald Trump. The new spending and tax increases are unlikely to get by Republicans who control the House. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
1 year ago today, Silicon Valley Bank failed. 2 days later, Signature Bank collapsed. And later in the spring, First Republic Bank failed too. Government intervention played a big role in containing the fallout from those collapses. But a year on, the banking system is still feeling a lot of reverberations. Marketplace's Justin Ho looked into what has changed in the last year and what has not.
The whole banking system was caught off guard by the problems at the three mid-sized institutions, especially regulators, says Catherine Judge, a law professor at Columbia. But right now?
We have regulators who are on high alert for the possibility of problems and are actively working to try to make sure they understand where sources of fragility might exist.
For instance, the Federal Reserve says it's been keeping a closer eye on commercial real estate loans, since many have been showing signs of stress. There are also proposals to beef up the cushion banks have to carry to absorb losses. Overall, Judge says regulators have learned that big banks aren't the only ones that can threaten the financial system.
Banks the size of Signature Bank or Silicon Valley Bank have the potential to be systemically significant in a way that are going to require extraordinary action by regulators in connection with their failures.
But even though the banking system is more stable now, a lot of the problems that were revealed a year ago haven't gone away. A big one is the pressure banks face when interest rates rise, says David Schiff, head of retail and consumer banking at West Monroe.
Higher interest rates, particularly the longer they stay high, mean greater operating costs, means greater uncertainty around the balance sheet, both on the deposit side and on the lending side.
On the lending side, a lot of banks' cash is tied up in loans they made back when interest rates were low. But on the deposit side, banks are having to pay their customers higher interest rates to keep them from running to the competition.
Banks are really struggling, particularly with small businesses, commercial institutions, and high net worth customers that have greater degrees of deposits, to prove out that the relationship is really worth it.
Banks are trying other ways of keeping depositors happy. Dominic Miartan, the CEO of Optus Bank in South Carolina, says his bank's been looking at cutting fees for services like wire transfers and fraud protection.
We frequently have to say, to win your relationship, to show you that we're a good relationship bank, you know, we're going to do that for very little or nothing.
Miartan's bank makes a lot of loans in low and moderate income communities. And lately, he's been going to big banks and saying, hey, you want to help those communities too, so why don't you deposit some money with us? That strategy has been working out.
We pay them interest on it. We send them statements. The money is insured. We agree on a term. And I'm hoping that they continue to reinvest those funds with us every time it matures.
Miartan says those deposits are allowing the bank to continue making new loans at a time when other lenders have been pulling back. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.